This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates to debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros. I am in DC this week. I am presenting at the Consumer Awareness Conference, or the MLM Conference. It is the third year, and I know a lot of you registered. I wanted to say thank you for the support. So I hope you guys tune in. I've been working on this presentation for a while, and I'm really proud of it. So I hope you tune in and you get to check it out. Other than that, I don't really have a lot to share. There aren't any content warnings on this episode. It's a really fun episode, actually. We talked to Corey, who is the daughter-in-law of some Amway victims. And it's a really unique perspective that I think you guys will really enjoy. I love talking to other people who have been affected by MLM that weren't necessarily in them, to look at their perspective and to understand what they saw and sort of put all those pieces together, because it is such a huge puzzle. And I think the more pieces that we can add to it, the more we can see the whole picture and make effective change going forward. So like I said, I'll see you guys at the MLM conference this week and enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. I am so excited. We're doing so much, like, just really cool education in 2023, and it wouldn't be an episode of Life After MLM without an Amway episode here or there. And so I got an email from a listener who's coming on the show today. Here she is. Her name's Corey. She's going to tell us the story of, like, her in-laws and coming into an established Amway family and sort of watching from the wings of what Amway does to people and how it really changes people and families, and just the destruction that it causes on a completely different level that we've never really talked about before. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome. I'd like to introduce Corey Smelker. Welcome to the show, Corey. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great. And I've been really looking forward to talking to you.
I am so excited to talk to you. There's so many times where people will email me, and this was sort of the case. Like, you emailed me and you're like, I would love to talk to you. And I'm like, yes, but it's like at a point where I'm like not recording. And so we emailed back and forth and kept in touch, but here we are. We're finally recording. I am so excited. Amway, it's the grandfather. It's the scam father of MLM. It comes up so much. And I think it's so important to talk about it because it's so gross. And your story is just different. And so I wanted to hear about it. So we're going to start before you even like came into the family and met your in-laws and your husband. Talk to us about where you grew up and sort of how you didn't really know what MLMs were because of where you grew up and what happened.
Precisely. So I was actually born in England to British parents. And in the 1970s, we immigrated to South Africa. When we lived in England, my mother did a bit of Avon, but I didn't even know until you mentioned it on another podcast recently that Avon wasn't truly an MLM until 2005, I think you said. So my mother would, she would pick up just jewelry or lipstick, but she didn't even wear makeup. So I don't even know what she was doing with it. But anyway, we moved to South Africa, and because of apartheid and because of the embargo that the US government and other governments around the world had against South Africa, in some ways it was actually kind of wonderful because we didn't know anything about MLMs. In fact, it wasn't until Nelson Mandela was released in 1990 and that things started to open up and the US government was starting to then share things. Now, obviously we had cars from the US government, but there were certain things that governments weren't allowing into South Africa. And one of them thankfully, was MLMs. So when I actually came to the United States and heard about an MLM or Amway for the first, I had absolutely no idea what it was, nothing. I'd never even heard of it. And I came in 1993.
It's so interesting to me that because of apartheid in South Africa, other countries weren't willing, obviously, to work with South Africa.
Correct.
And that included, like, you're not going to get the good stuff, but you're also not going to get our scams either.
Bad stuff either. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to share the crap with you. We're not going to share anything with you, including the crappy stuff.
So that's really interesting. So you move to the United States. At what point did you meet your husband?
I flew in. My father had taken a 5-year contract with Detroit Edison. And so I flew in one Christmas. I had no intention of staying in the United States. I had initially thought, because I was a teacher at the time, and I thought, well, with the upheaval going on in South Africa, I would go back to England and I would get a job as a teacher in England. But then I was going to travel through Europe. I had a young son. I was a single mother. I was going to travel through Europe teaching English as a second language, hop on a ferry from Spain back to North Africa, and then I was going to wend my way back down to South Africa teaching on the way. I met my husband.
I mean, that sounds like an incredible adventure to me.
I have a very adventurous spirit. I love to travel. I've traveled a lot. I've been very, very blessed. But I had, as I said, no intention of staying. I landed up meeting and marrying my American husband.
So you come to the States in 93.
Yes.
Is that the first time that you had met your in-laws?
Yes. We got engaged. We got engaged very, very fast. And then I met my in-laws after we got engaged. Between the engagement and the wedding, and I was actually only in the country for 3 months. I had to leave because my visa expired. So my husband's actually planned an entire wedding. He had to do it while I was in England. But anyway, I came back and I was visiting at my in-laws' house, and I went down to their basement, and they had shelves and shelves just filled with boxes of makeup and cleaning materials and energy bars. And I can't even remember what else. And Terry, my husband, came down into the basement. I said, "What is this?" And he's like, "It's Amway." I'm like, "What is Amway?" And so this is 1993. His parents had been in Amway since the late 1970s. Yeah,
oh
it was
my
a
God.
Long time. And I think he was just, it was just his tone of, oh my God, here I go. I've got to try and explain this to somebody. Poor man. And yet I still married him. We're still married almost 29 years later.
I just think it's really funny that you like come into this strange thing in the basement and you're like, oh my God, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's our family secret. It's Amway.
It's our family. Yeah, it's the skeleton in the cupboard, you know. So then he had to explain what Amway was. Well, then his mother comes in. She's like, oh, it's Amway, and it's an amazing thing. And I said, well, explain it to me. So she starts explaining to me. Now, I'm not a business person. I'm not a business major. I have an education degree. I have a master's in English. I have a degree in theology. I don't have a degree in business. But she's explaining to me how it works. And I kept on saying, okay, can you say that again? Okay, so if you do this, then you have to do, if you do X, you have to do Y, right? She goes, yeah, but then what happens to Z? And then what about A, B, and C? And she goes, well, it's really complicated. I said, but business shouldn't be complicated. This doesn't make any sense to me. And she goes, well, you just don't understand. And I'm not explaining it. She got really upset. And I mean, we've been together, like I said, almost 29 years. I've learned over the years that she's very sensitive. And so it's best to just back away, push away. Otherwise, you'll be screamed at for a couple of hours. So I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Obviously, I don't understand. And then she tried to get me into it. Well, I'm not even yet married. I'm not allowed to make money in the U.S. because I don't have a green card. I'm in on a fiance visa. I can't make money. I don't have a social security card. I don't have anything yet. I have to get married and have my green card before I'm legally allowed to work in the United States.
She was like, I have the perfect job for you.
And I'm like, well, no, but I have to make real money. And that really upset her too. And then she said, well, what salary expectations are you looking for? I said, well, when I was a teacher in South Africa, I was making X amount. She goes, "Well, I don't know if you can make that here." And I said, "Well, absolutely, I can make that here. I have a degree." She goes, "Well, Amway can help you make a lot more." I said, "Well, you know what? I'd prefer to actually find an actual job that pays me X amount, and then we can talk." But we never did, because I shut her down every single time after that.
Wow. So another one of the things that you talked about in your email that you sent me was that your mother-in-law always sort of had this like keeping up with the Joneses attitude about life. Mm-hmm. And that was something like my mom always said when I was a kid, whatever it was at the time. And that she sort of had this feeling of being inadequate and wanting all the things and thinking that Amway was going to bring this to her. What were some of the wild dreams that she had because of this Amway business?
She wanted to own a horse farm. At one point she, no, at one point she and my father-in-law, bless their hearts there, she did manage a horse farm, and she owned her own horse. She was an exceptional horsewoman. She did a lot of dressage. She was really accomplished. And that, I think that was the pity, that she had real talent, but because of her feeling of inadequacies and the way she tried to then funnel in to make money, she was never able to realize those dreams. So that to me was not a bad dream to have. But then she always wanted the biggest and newest car, and she always wanted the biggest house, and not just, you know, a 3,000 square foot home. She wanted a mansion. She wanted something that was like 10,000 square feet on 20 acres, and, you know, I mean, Gone with the Wind type mansion, or, you know, a Spurs player type mansion, you know, stuff that that really you can't have unless you're a multimillionaire or you have family money, neither of which they had.
Right. It's really this dream big Amway attitude mm-hmm. that keeps you on the hook. Did she have dream boards and things
she,
like that as
she
well?
She totally had dream boards. She had a vision board in their basement on the wall. She on the fridge, she would have pictures of things that she was wanting to get. She would talk about it, but the issue is, and I mean, we know that you've talked about this with Amway, you go in as a couple, but the husband is meant to be the leader. My father-in-law is the quietest man ever. A couple of years ago, I had to drive him from, they live in Texas now, but I had to drive him from their home just outside of Dallas to Dallas and back for an appointment. And we were in the car for a total of 4 hours. At this point, I've known him for 25, 26 years. He talked more in those 4 hours than he'd have talked in the entire 25 years that I've been married to my husband. He just does not talk. And yet now he's meant to be this leader that's going to bring all this income in. Well, how do you do that? You do it by talking to people. He's an introvert. I mean, he's the introvert. He's the king of introverts. He was a technical trainer, so he would talk and he would do his job, but he's just not a chatty kind of person. That's just not who he is. He'd rather sit and play music.
And if you're going to be someone who's high up in any sort of scam or MLM or pyramid scheme or anything, like, you have to sort of be like a smarmy sweet talker.
And that is so not him. He is so real. He's sweet. I adore my father-in-law. He is the sweetest man. And he adores my mother-in-law. They've been married now. It'll be 58 years this year. He adores her, so he'll do anything to keep her happy. And so these are her dreams, and she wanted those dreams fulfilled, but she wasn't going to do it herself. She expected him to do it. And so she found this avenue that she thought would allow them to fulfill that dream. Meanwhile, he's making great money.
Yeah. In your email, you said that he was making like over $100,000 a year in the 80s.
Yes, 80s and
That's
90s.
A lot of money. And in Michigan.
In
too.
Michigan. Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, like, I was very lucky. And I grew up very privileged. My dad owned car dealerships in the 1980s. And people were buying a lot of cars back then. Mm-hmm. And I know he made at least that. He had to have. And we lived a very... And not to be braggadocious at all, but just to put into perspective, we had a sailboat, we had an RV, we went camping, we went on hikes, we took many family vacations a year to many different places. And so for you to be telling me that all they're doing is struggling, that they're not able to do this, that they've got a basement full of boxes, And to know that the other side of that in Michigan, that money would have gone even farther than
Yeah,
California.
I know. And then today it's worth like what, 200,000, 250,000
It's like,
a
oh, it's like
year?
over, it's almost a quarter of $1 million a year.
That's incredible. I mean, I would love to be earning that right now. I'm not earning that. Can you imagine what you could do with 250,000 a year today in 2023?
It's just a wow. Yeah, it's wild to me
I
to
know.
know what they could have had, which literally was a lot closer to these dreams that she had.
Precisely. If they had not chosen Amway and they had instead invested wisely or taken the money that they were using to go to those conventions to meet their uplines, which they were doing as several times a month, if they took all that money and just even threw it in a savings account, not even just investing, you know, if they made just put it in a savings account, not even make the money work for you, they would have been so much further ahead than they are today. And they are in dire straits today.
It just goes to show like the waste because you're investing in something that has an expiration date, which is not a good investment at all. Spending so much money on your boxes of product, your kudos, whatever, at the beginning of the month to hit all your numbers to make sure you get your bonus check for whatever, however Amway works, you know, to know that you could have put that money in a savings account or put that money in a 401k or a retirement plan or anything, as opposed to more boxes of Amway that only carried the promise of the possibility that maybe you might live this life. But they could have been living it had they not been funneling their money into
Precisely.
Amway.
Precisely. And you know, the impact, you had a guy named John Terbazian on once ago.
Terbizan, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about being the child of Amway, of an Amway parent,
Herbalife.
Herbalife parent.
Yeah.
You know, my Terry didn't go through the financial stuff that his dad did because his parents stayed together. But I know that it impacted Terry and his sister terribly because suddenly they were not able to do things with the kids that they used to do. They didn't have the money. Suddenly, they don't have the money to do the extracurricular stuff that they used to do. So Terry got into drama because it's free. You can do that free at school. But his parents never came to the place because they were always so damn busy. They were gone a lot of weekends because they're off doing the stupid conventions. And so I know that now Terry talks about it, and there's an element of bitterness to it because he sees how much it stole from him in his teenage years. You know, in his teenagers, you know, we'd say we don't want our parents around and we act all hoity-toity around our parents like we really, but you really do. I mean, I remember being like 16 and in a play, and I looked out and I saw my mother, and I was swimming and I saw my father. It means a lot to you as a teenager. You may not show it, but it means a lot. But Terry knew he just couldn't rely on his parents because they were taken away with this Amway stuff.
See, and that's what's so horrible, right? Because MLMs preach that it is the gateway to freedom. And with that freedom, not only will you have to not ever worry about money and bills, but you will have the time to spend with your family, with your children. You won't have to hire a nanny because you'll be there. You've got this business on auto. It's on lock. You're good to go. You just got to put in a few years first. You just got to sacrifice a little bit now for the greater good later. But
Well,
everybody I've talked to that has
that's
had parents
never
in
happened.
MLMs are like, they weren't there. We
I
didn't
know.
have the money for this. We didn't have the money for that. They weren't around for this. They didn't show up for that. There was always an excuse. And we think when we're in MLMs that we're going to be a better parent, but it's actually making us a far worse parent. I remember feeling that I was the shittiest parent because I was taking photos of mannequins over swimming or whatever it was and going, what am I really doing this for? And it really wasn't until I had to confront it. It doesn't matter how many times someone else tells you that you're wasting your time or how many times your kids are like, Mom, get off your phone. You have to sort of come to that realization yourself, whether it's a hard truth because something horrible happens, or you just figure it out. But it is so the opposite of what they promise.
I
And this
know.
keeps coming up over and over and over again. So it's not a one-off.
No, it's not. It's not. And And honestly, I see that every, and I mentioned this in my email, at Christmas every year, my mother-in-law would say, okay, we're going to kick the business into high gear next year. So in fact, my kids, we have five kids, my kids, every Christmas as we were driving to grandma's house, one of them would go, okay, how long before grandma says this? And we would take bets. How long it would be before grandma would say, we're going to kick the, and it's the exact phrase, we're going to kick the business into high gear in the next year. And we would like, yeah, seriously, we'd take bets on it. And we would just laugh because we knew that nothing was going to happen. And when she said it, I would surreptitiously just look at my father-in-law and his head. I mean, he would not smile. He was looking down. You could tell he was not excited about this at all. If he could have just carried on with his career, come home and be allowed to record his music, he's a music pastor as well, he would have been happy. But no, she wanted him out every night doing whatever it is you have to do to get people to join Amway.
Do you ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there on the internet just for anyone to find? I promise it's more than you think. Your name, contact info, social security number, home address, even information about your family members. It's all being compiled by data brokers and openly sold online. This can lead to a lot of problems, including identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. But now you can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Signing up for the service is super easy. Just provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. They send you regular, personalized privacy reports showing what info they found, where they found it, and what they removed. I got my report and I was floored with the results. Of the 105 data brokers they checked, 83 of them had my data. Delete Me then removed 173 listings of my personal data off the internet. And they make sure that it stays off too. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me at a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and use promo code MLM at checkout. The only way to get the 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and enter code MLM at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/MLM, code MLM.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And she tried a lot of different ways, and they lost a lot of friends. I know in the email I talk about the fact that when Terry was younger, when he was 10 or 11, his father and their best friend, John, Uncle John, would go hiking Canada every summer. And I've never got to meet Uncle John, even though he was such a part of Terry's life, because my in-laws pushed so hard with Amway that eventually John said, look, I can't be a part of this anymore. You keep on hounding me, and that's not what friendship is about. So
Wow.
they've lost good friends over this over the years.
I mean, and that's a hiking buddy, right?
Yeah.
And I know I'm like, I'm so into getting back on the trails and everything right now. Like, everyone's like, enough, Roberto, with the hiking. But like, it's hard to find a hiking buddy where you're out in the wilderness with someone that you can talk to for
For a whole
hours and it
week.
never gets
Yeah.
boring.
I know. Of course, with my father-in-law being so quiet, maybe they didn't say anything for the whole week. I don't know. But
They
then to
just
have
had
somebody,
binoculars and they just like, just in
yeah.
silence,
But to
just
have
enjoyed the
somebody walk
view.
in silence with you for a week, that's also pretty cool.
Right.
Whatever you want, right?
Absolutely. And to lose such a strong friendship,
I
right? Someone
know.
that you're willing to go into complete, absolute nothing wilderness with, and to lose and to push it and to push it and to push it.
And
I know Uncle John didn't say one and done. I'm sure there were many times where John was like, look, we've already talked and I'm still not interested. I just want to hike Canada and hang out with my friend. Like, I don't know why we always have to talk about this.
Right.
The point that John just removed himself from the situation.
Right.
It's horrible.
Right.
So another thing that you mentioned in your email that sort of goes along with this are these really like ridiculous recruiting techniques. And we're going to start with the birthday party list because it sort of goes along with the John thing. And then we'll go to the next one. But
sure.
One of the things that you told me was it was your husband's 30th birthday. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about this story.
Okay. So we'd only been married a couple of years at this point and we were still young and poor and had, when I came to the country, I had two suitcases and a kid. So I basically started from scratch. And my husband came into the marriage with credit card debt and a bed. So we...
You got it all. You have everything you need. Perfect American dream.
Right. Here, I thought I was going to marry a rich American, right? Actually, we got married so fast that a lot of people thought that I just was trying to get married to stay in the country. And I'm like, first of all, it's Michigan. I'm an African girl. I do not do snow. Secondly, if I really wanted to find a rich American, don't you think I'd go to California or Florida, somewhere where it's warm and I can find a rich one? But anyway, so we lived in a tiny little two-bedroom apartment and I wanted to host a big surprise party for my husband's 30th. And we were in a very large church. So we had a very large circle of church friends. And then we both worked at Ford Motor Company, but in different divisions. We had probably 50 to 75 people. So I asked my in-laws if we could use their house. My mother-in-law was like, sure. So I went and I set everything up. And that night we had about 75 people at the party. So I'm mingling and doing the usual, you know, social things. And I go into the kitchen to go get something out, some for the fridge. And Terry is in there with his mom and he's like, Mom, give me that paper right now. And he's got his voice raised. And I'm like, what's going on? And so she's got this paper and she's kind of putting it behind her back. And so I said, what's going on? He looked at me, he said, she's getting the names and numbers of all of our friends. I said, oh, why? And she goes, well, I wanted to write thank you notes to everybody. And he goes, Mom, I know that's not what you want to do. You're going to call our friends to try and get them into Amway. And I looked at her and said, really? She goes, no, I want to write thank you notes. I said, well, no, first of all, that's not your job. That's my job, our job to thank our friends for coming, not yours. And so she's like, well, no, that's really what I want to do. And Terry said, you are not going to make us lose our friends. You've already lost enough of yours. But you're not going to force Amway down my friends' throats. Give me that paper right now. And then, so we actually went and apologized to those people that she had already talked to. And we're like, we are so sorry. Thankfully, we didn't lose any of our friends over it, but it really actually opened my eyes to just how deceptive this whole thing is. I mean, seriously, I work for a cybersecurity company. I don't go around to all of my friends and get their names and numbers and then say, you've got to put in your resume to this company. You know, I don't say if you go to this company, then I get something out of it. You just don't do that. That's not business. That's not business practice.
Also the audacity to gaslight you guys. And like, not only like just gaslight in the moment, like she was prepared for that.
This is what I'm going to say.
She had a secondary lie to cover up her real intentions.
I know. And that really got me very upset. And I don't actually very often get upset. I don't raise my voice very often. I'm very outgoing, but I'm very, very calm. And that really got to me. I was shocked more than anything, actually, because I had never seen this kind of behavior. Again, maybe because South Africa didn't allow MLMs, I had never been around this kind of predatory behavior before.
It was
weird to me.
So you mentioned that the friends at the party are church friends, and you had mentioned that you're a Christian. And one of the things that upset you so much about all of this was that Amway and your in-laws claimed also to be Christian, but acted like this, like these lies and this gaslighting and this stuff. So that leads us into this next sort of scammy, gross thing that you shared with me. And again, you shared with me, like, Christians, they hold their wives in a high esteem, that you wouldn't throw your wife under the bus. You wouldn't do this sort of thing. It's a Christian principle to respect and love your partner like that. And so, yeah, tell us about this cold call. And this is a cold call script, y'all. This is not like calling people back. This is a cold call, random number script. But Corey, please tell us this, because, oh my God.
Okay, so let me explain. Like you said, I am a Christian, and the Bible says that the husband is to lie, love his wife as Jesus loves the church. Well, does Jesus lie? Does Jesus gaslight? Does Jesus deceive? Does Jesus throw people under the bus? If you are a true believer, you're going to know that the answer to those four questions is no. So when I saw the cold call script, I was like, oh my God, this is not Christian. So I'm actually going to read it to you. So here's the script. Good evening, insert the name here. So good evening, Roberta. Someone called the house earlier today, and my wife took the call, and she completely forgot to take down the name and number of the person. I know, woman, right? That was the script.
Oh my God. Ah.
First of all, he told a barefaced lie. Secondly, he had to make his wife out to be the bad guy and an idiot. And then again, how is lying a good business practice?
And
I
then
mean, he.
also, like, what's the other end of that call? Like, nope, wasn't me. Have a good evening. Click.
Well, no, but now that I've got you on the line, I'm guessing. But again, bless his heart, this is my father-in-law's script. I don't know that he actually ever used it. I don't know how much work he actually ever put into it. He also had his guitar down there, and it was soundproof room, and he closed the office door. I suspect that he would tell my mother-in-law he was going down to the basement to make some calls, close the door, and start playing his guitar.
He's like, I need to go do some Amway stuff in my jam cave. I mean, in our Amway storeroom.
I honestly
Okay.
do.
I
I
wonder if that's
really
actually what happened.
do.
He's like, we also need to make this Amway storeroom soundproof just in case of
Just
stuff.
in case, yeah. Anyway, I just, again, I can't imagine doing this in a legitimate business environment. You don't do this. I
No.
mean, if you run a salon, right? You don't cold call and say, well, I think one of my stylists might have, called you, or you've called and but my stylist didn't get the number.
It would be so weird to put it in that perspective for me to just randomly call people in town and be like, someone called today looking for a haircut, and I was just trying to make sure it was you. Our stupid receptionist forgot to write down the name. Like, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't, if someone, I just like the fact that you're like blaming, like, I don't know how it would feel in that moment as the person on the other side of the call. Like, first of all, I probably wouldn't have even answered it in the first place. Secondly, I feel like if I got on the call, I would have been very like quickly to get off. Be like, no, it wasn't me. Have a
Yeah,
great
it
day. Good
wasn't
night. Bye.
me.
Yeah, it's just very strange. Not completely unheard of, but just strange behavior that we really don't see anywhere outside of these strange high demand cults and scams.
Now, this was the mid-90s, and I do think people, because we didn't have a caller ID and stuff, so I think people might have been a little more open. Now, I mean, in 2023, every number that I see just goes straight to my voicemail, and I'll pick it up later. I'm not on it. If it's not a name, I'm not picking it up. So I think probably the mid-90s might have been a little different,
You
but
know, you do make
still.
a good point, because I remember in the mid 90s, the only thing I wanted more than anything in the whole entire world was my own phone line.
There you go.
Like, I wanted it so bad. And then when the internet came out, my family was like, yes, and your line will be the internet line, right? Because, you know, anybody listening who wasn't around then, you had to have a separate phone line for the internet. It was very complicated.
I remember that.
And I remember, like, when the phone would ring, when my phone would ring, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to answer it. Who is it? Like, just because somebody was calling me. So, yeah. I could put myself in that perspective back in the 90s with the phone rings, or if the doorbell rings. It was something just happened more often, so it wasn't so startling as it is now.
But to look, I'm now looking at the whole perspective of my in-laws were in from 1970s, probably 78, 79. They didn't get out until 2005. I met them in 1993. From 1993 to 2005, I never saw them go anywhere in the business. And in all the years before that, they never went anywhere in the business. So they put in almost 30 years of weekends and nights to something that never came to fruition. Not only did they stagnate, they actually went backwards because the money that they should have been putting into a 401k or investing in the stock market or putting it just even into a savings account, that never happened. And here we are almost 30 years later. And you know who's going to bear the brunt of their bad financial decisions? Terry and myself.
Yeah, you and Terry.
That's where we sit. And I said in my email that I'm actually very angry about that. I really am, because we've been put in a position where we now have to take financial decisions for my in-laws because they did not take the wise financial decisions because Amway brainwashed them. Amway told them, don't put money in a 401k. Amway told them, worry about saving because in the future you're going to be just fine. But they're not. Where's Amway now?
Wow.
You know?
It's just something really interesting to think about. And it kind of comes in on the heels of child exploitation, but like long term, because you're exploiting your children, but not for 50 years.
They probably kept on thinking, well, this year we're going to make the money and then we'll be able to put it into savings. We'll be able to catch up with the four. You know, you always think, well, I'm going to be able to, I'm going to be able to, but that able to never happens.
Right. But
And I appreciate that you look after your parents when you're older. Like, for example, my mother is a widow. And she lived in England when my father passed away. My brother lives up in Scotland. He married a Scots girl. So we had a discussion. Okay, my mother needs to live nearby somebody because she was all by herself. And she decided to move to Scotland because she could still live on her own. But she has the means to do it. She has a pension. She has my father's pension. They lived here in the United States for a few years, so she has a social security. And they made wise financial choices. She's not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but they set themselves up for retirement. My in-laws have not, and
right.
they are living very tight. Now, he did make us, like I said, he made good money. Security checks are, they're not horrible, but with inflation and with just the cost of just general living, they are struggling. I mean, they are really, really tight.
I just think that's a really good point that a lot of people who are all in with MLMs, like they don't think about that. They don't think about the long-term effects of not paying into things or not having finances or investments or, savings or anything like that. Because one, they're on that train of, well, the next one is going to be the big one. So that one, that big check I get is not only going to pay all the back of everything I've missed, but I'll also have extra to be able to put it that way. So
For
you're
the
living
future.
in that fantasy that's not real, but you're believing it's going to happen. And so you're just moving toward that goal.
Precisely.
But then at the same time, you're not realizing that by living this, you're putting a much larger burden onto your family who will have to then take up all of what you weren't able to do when that time comes.
Right,
And
precisely.
I don't think it's like an intentional
No.
exploitation, but it's absolutely something that happens when you are so lost in the promise of unicorn farts. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, like what they're promising doesn't exist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, Amway conventions, from what I gather, I've never thankfully been to one. The glitz and glamour, you get that rah rah, and you get that sense of, you get the run of adrenaline, you get the dopamine, you get the, oh, you're amazing, and look at all these people up here on this on the stage, and look how well they've done, and this could be you. And I mean, so you get that rush of adrenaline. You come home and you're all charged up, but that's Saturday, Sunday. By Tuesday, it's gone. So then you have to meet with the upline because you got to keep it going. So you got all the hype, but it's hot air. There's nothing behind that hype. Nothing.
Yeah, that's why you got to hop on that Wednesday call and go to that Friday meeting and plan
Because
for
you.
next month's convention that you have to look forward to.
Right.
Another thing that you mentioned that goes with all of this that I really want to talk about as well is you said that you had heard stories about like MLM conversions and altar calls at these Amway meetings.
Yes, my father-in-law was so proud of himself. He was talking one day and I'm like, why do you stay in Amway? I don't get it. He goes, but they're doing such great stuff, you know, for the church and for the community. He goes, you know, we were just at this convention this last week and they had this amazing preacher and they had this altar call and 1,000 people rushed down to the altar to accept Jesus as Savior. I'm like, you do know that's not real, right? You do know that that's just an emotional charge. And in 2 days' time, that person's going to think, what the F did I actually do? That's not Christianity. That's not a true conversion. That's not how that happens. And he was like, oh, well, if that's what you think. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of what I do think. That's kind of true. You know, that's just not my opinion. That's just emotion.
Right. People rushing the stage in a viral emotional setting is not, you know, true conversion.
Again, I mean, this is business, right? If it's a business, you're not even meant to bring religion into a business. I'm sorry, that it's got no place in a business.
And you if know, it's going to have a place in a business, be really upfront about it.
Right. I mean, I love my company, but I have no idea what my CEO believes and he doesn't know he shouldn't. I shouldn't. It shouldn't be a part of business. I'm sorry. I love Jesus, but I'm not bringing that into the workplace.
It's just interesting to hear about this because I know it happens. I've heard of things like at Young Living conventions where they do raindrop therapy and they have conversions. And I've heard about
Young Living.
Oh my God. Right. And like Monet did baptisms in the pool at the Scottsdale Marriott, all kinds of weird stuff. You know what I mean? So like, I know it's happening. So it's interesting to see it from a different perspective. And also from the perspective of someone who was like, it was amazing, as opposed to someone watching on social media being like, oh my God, what's happening?
I know, this is awful.
Right. Yeah. And to see that perspective of him being like, it was incredible. So much so that it's one of the reasons that keeps me into this company, that when you asked me why I stay, it was the first thing that came up.
Right.
It's just money wasn't. Like, we make a lot of money. It helps us pay our bills. It's wonderful for the environment, whatever. Like, things like that. Like, no, it was like, they're converting people into Christians. Like, it's really culty.
It is very culty. It is very, very culty.
Yeah. And then we see that the Christian lifestyle that most of these people are actually
is not Christian
gaslighting
at all.
And lying and manipulation. Yeah, and it's not.
Yeah.
And so, Jesus is like, what? No.
Jesus, like, don't use my name like that. What I said, you know, before we started the podcast, it's you had that gal on a few months ago who has her master's in theology, and she did an amazing job of talking about the church and Christianity. She was amazing. But I totally agree with her. It makes those of us who actually do try to be true Christ followers look really bad, because we're all painted with that same paintbrush, and it's not fair because there's a hues, and I'm on this side and they're on this side and near the twain will meet. But it makes it very hard for us who truly do want to be Christ-like and Christians to have a good voice, because it's drowned out by this crap.
Yeah. So in 2003, you and your husband relocate to Texas.
Correct.
And shortly after, your in-laws follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happened then?
Okay. So I think for them, this was the beginning of the end. They relocated. My father-in-law was offered a really good position down in Dallas, Texas. So they were only five hours away from us, from San Antonio. We go to visit them probably about a month after they moved. And they had a lovely home. And I'm doing my little perusal around the house. And I see the guest room full of their skeletons. And so I was like, oh crap, I'm probably going to get yelled at, and my mother-in-law's going to not talk to me for the next week, but I'm going to find out. And I said to her, I see you have your Amway stuff. Are you still in Amway? She got this look on her face, and she's like, well, no, we just packed this stuff up. But yeah, no, we're not going to be part of Amway anymore. And I mean, Terry's face just like lit up. I mean, you could tell he was so happy. And I'm like, well, what happened? She said, well, you know, when we moved, we had to move to a different upline, and then they wouldn't allow us. I mean, I don't even know how Amway works. I really don't. Even after she explained it all to me, I still don't get. I know it's really siloed. And she's like, well, then we couldn't bring the people, or they couldn't do something, and so we're going to lose a whole lot of money. And she says, and we haven't been making money in a long time. I'm like, oh shit, Sherlock. Of course you haven't been making money for a long time. But it really was the beginning of the end. I mean, I think they just packed the product up because it was in the house. They had a moving company actually pack them. So I think it just got moved. They moved when my father-in-law retired. They moved to a small home in a very small town. And I don't see, apart from them just having like hand soap in the bathroom, I don't see any Amway products anywhere throughout the house. They don't do, you know, they used to give us the catalog every Christmas. And for the first couple of years we were married, we would order something out of the catalog. But then about the third or fourth year in, Terry's like, we're not ordering anything. He said, we're not supporting it whatsoever in any way, anyhow. So they haven't done that in several years. So I would say probably from about 2005, 2006 on. So, I mean, it's been a while now that they have not been in Amway, but they went out with a whimper. They didn't go out with a bang. They just kind of slowly slid away from it. I think they're almost too embarrassed to say, look, we've left because we haven't gone anywhere with it. But it took them from 1978 to 2005. How many years is that? That's a long time.
It's almost 30 years. Like,
I
it's a
know.
really long time.
Yeah, 28 years that they were in. I mean, almost as long as I've been married. That's insane, right?
And what a wild juxtaposition from the moment you met them and how excited they were about Amway. Well, at least your mother-in-law, excited about Amway, and this is going to change, and this is this and that and this, to the last time you asked her about it, where it's,
We kind of, yeah.
I guess not. Like, it's just such a complete, like, 180 flip.
I know. Totally 180. Totally 180.
And I'm not really, I mean, as many episodes I've done about Amway and as many questions I've asked people that have been in it, I still feel that I don't completely understand how Amway works, but I know there's lines of affiliation. And so I'm wondering if there was just like a Michigan line of affiliation that just was not cool with them leaving the state of Michigan and
That
then.
actually sounds that sounds kind of what she told me. But again, because I never really got into it, I didn't even understand. I mean, when she explained it to me, I still didn't understand all of it. I still don't understand all of it, and I have no desire to understand all of it because it shouldn't be that complicated. It shouldn't be
That's the
that
point,
complicated.
right? It shouldn't. A business or anything that you're investing at this point, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into, should be easily understood within, I don't know, 15 minutes, like looking at something and going, oh, can you clarify? Oh, okay, that's what I thought. D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-clarify. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Books good to me. I don't know how many episodes I have, and I'm still like, okay, I'm not, wait, what? It's still convoluted. It's still confusing. And it is built this way intentionally so to confuse regulators, to confuse lawmakers, to confuse anything. Even when I was talking, we were talking to Chat GPT and we were asking it questions. And it was literally saying, well, this can't be this way because of this. But then the opposite
Is
answer was, it couldn't be this because of that. And I'm just like, you can't be. Oh, so it can't be A because it's B, but it can't be B because it's A. Cool. Awesome. That's a scam in a nutshell.
I know, absolutely. It totally is a scam, and it scammed them for 28 years. And I think that sunk cost fallacy that you talk about, that really came into play because they had spent so much money that every time she'd say we're going to get into high gear, it was because she wanted to try and recoup some of the money that they had lost in all those years. And yet, you know, the really sad thing is, like I said at the beginning of the hour, if they had just stayed with his salary and invested it wisely, she probably would have had the horse farm. She probably would have. She might not have driven the flashiest car, but she might have had a Mercedes or a BMW. You don't need a Bugatti or a Lamborghini.
Yeah, she would have a horse farm with a nice car, with a nice house, and her husband would be going on Canadian hikes with Uncle John and updating him on all the cool stuff that had been happening. And they wouldn't have lost the money, the time, the friends, the sanity, the humility. They wouldn't have had to go through any of it.
I know. They would not have had to go through any of
that. And at the end, it was for literally nothing but a guest room full of expired Amway.
That's a perfect way to say it. Guest room full of expired Amway. That's perfect.
I mean, and for what? Terry had to go through free school programs, could never do anything because of that. Never had the joy of looking into the audience and seeing his father's proud face and his mother holding flowers and clapping and saying, "That's my boy." Right. Never got to have that. Right. Felt abandoned emotionally by his family. And as a teenager in his most formidable, like brain forming years. And then I'm assuming has abandonment issues the way a lot of us that are unpacking childhood trauma have. Oh, that's where that comes from. The way that we do things and the way that we react to situations, it all comes down. And at the root of it, his parents just wanted to have more and be more and just have that dream that I guarantee you they never had that dream before Amway stepped in and said, just dream a little bit bigger.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming. There's absolutely nothing, because I think we all want to better ourselves, especially when we have children. We want to better ourselves. We want to provide a good future for our children. But they have to be dreams that are rooted in reality. Her dreams weren't grounded in the reality of her situation. They could have been if she changed her focus, but she kept her focus on the wrong thing. And as a result, none of those dreams came to pass, which is really sad.
MLMs will do that, right? They'll take a small dream. Like her initial dream could have been like, I would really love to own a horse again one day. I would really love to be able to look out in my backyard and see a corral with my horse in it. And they're like, dream bigger.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's not just a horse. It's not just a guest house. It's owning a home in Italy. It's owning a horse farm. It's having a wounded warrior's retreat in Montana. Like, it's these really gigantic, ridiculous, out of scope dreams to keep you on the hook.
Right. Precisely.
And to play with your emotions and your heart.
I know. And I think at the end of the day, that's really what kills me, is the fact that because she dreamed those dreams that were out of scope, she was not able to achieve any of the dreams that they wanted.
Yeah, and all the achievable ones passed her by.
Right. Because how disappointing is that, though, to, you know, look back on your life and go, okay, I didn't hit any of those dreams. Like the American dream, it's not just an American dream. It's a world dream. But unfortunately, it's how do you achieve that dream? And with now especially the advent of the internet, MLMs have gone into the world. So we're starting to see it in Africa. And now they're plundering a whole new population of people that are on the cusp of something that could be great. And you've got these MLMs that are coming in now, and they are just undermining everything that could be good about these emerging nations.
Absolutely. And we've heard stories before about going into emerging nations and helping people do this and creating something really great. But the vehicle was Amway. And so with the vehicle being Amway, it's never going to be really great. It's always going to be a scam.
Right.
And it's just really, really sad. It's really sad.
I'm ultimately sad and angry. Because as I said, unfortunately, for the future, my husband and I are going to be the ones bearing the brunt of taking care of my in-laws. And I'm happy to do it. And I think all of us at some point will be taking care of our parents. But we will have to take on a bigger financial role than I think most families deal with. We'll be shouldering that financial burden because they haven't. And it's because of Amway. It's because of Amway. If I could turn around and sue Amway and tell them I want $1 million, I would. But I mean, I know better people have tried and not got anything from them. Totally sue them for the lies
Yeah,
that they've
I
told.
have some friends who have, like, our lawyers who were the lawyers that sued Amway. So I'm going to have them come on the show and talk about
That'd be
going through
awesome.
that kind of stuff and what they can share and what they can't.
Well, it's like the Church of Scientology, you know. I mean, they have all these lawsuits, and then they parade in with these huge attorneys, and so you've got this
And
little guy.
arbitration clauses.
I
Yeah.
know, it's insane. Yeah, and Amway's the same
Yeah.
way. I cannot tell you how much I've appreciated listening to your podcast. It
Are
really.
you all caught up? Or are you still midway?
No, I'm on like episode 70 now. Every
Oh.
day I walk my dogs. I take an hour walk with my dogs every day. And so I go between like three or four different podcasts, Office Ladies, you, Mike Rowe, a couple of others.
You're only halfway through. You have so much more to go.
I know. I'm really
There's like
excited.
so much good stuff coming
And
up.
my one daughter is so into this as well. So she listens to this. She listens to the podcast. She's very vocal on social media. And so she'll call out anybody at any time. And in fact, bless her heart, my one son's girlfriend, she's a graphic designer student at a university here in town. And last year she texted us and she goes, "I have a marketing job." And I'm like, "Oh, that's great." Because I mean, graphic design, that's perfect for marketing. So I said, "Tell me a little bit more about it, honey." So she's on the family group text. And she goes, "Well, so this guy came around and it's Cutco." And I'm like,
Oh
"What's?" And I said, "What's Cutco?" And my daughter Haley's like, she texts me private and she goes, "Okay, mom, I'm gonna take one for the team." So she goes back on family group text and she's like, "You cannot do Cutco, Gabby, and this is why." And she explained the whole thing. And Gabby's like, "Oh, I thought I was gonna make some real money." And she's the sweetest little thing, and she's so innocent. And my heart broke because she was so excited. But these people just were going to take her for a ride. And my daughter's like, "No, I'm not going to let that happen to any family member." So yeah, she's very vocal. I didn't
yeah, I
know
was like, not Cutco.
what
Horrible.
it was.
Oh
And that's the
my God.
thing. I've never really, because of Amway, anytime somebody talks about it, well, anytime anybody on social media is like, "DM me for more information." I'm like, "Well, first of all, that's never happening."
I am not going with a stranger to a second location. Absolutely not.
But I just kind of filter out any of that kind of information. So I didn't even know what Cutco was. They
Yeah,
probably
there's an
wrote me,
MLM
tell
for
me.
everything.
Yeah, I
There's
know.
like toilet paper MLMs. Yeah, there's like a water filter MLM. Wild. I'm like, water's water. And these people be like, water's not water. I'm drinking like extra hydrogenated water. I'm actually drinking H3O. And I was like, you no, you're not, that's not what you're
It's
drinking.
not what's
You're not what you're drinking.
Oh my
So
God.
it's like, it's nobody looks further. They just go, oh, well, Mike said, and you're like, who's Mike? I'm like,
Right.
but Mike asked John. You're like, who's John? Like, it's there's nothing.
Oh, and then I do remember a friend of mine was on Melaleuca. So she's telling me all about Melaleuca, and I go to there, and it was a fledgling website. This was like 2006 or something, and I go onto their website. And they talk about how a child died because of bleach inhalation. And I thought to myself, that does not sound right. Because if that had happened, there would have been a national recall. It would have made headline news. So I went and did some research. Never happened. Never happened. So they put this lie out on their website. So you just have to do a little bit of research if you do come across it, and you can automatically kind of, see the lies.
Yeah, that pipeline from like wellness to QAnon is strong in MLMs. Like it goes straight to
Oh,
conspiracy
don't even.
theory where it's
Oh
like
my God.
anti-vax and flat earthers and like all of it.
The whole
It's
flat earth.
just QAnon. Like,
The
okay,
flat
here's
earth
another
thing just
cult.
gets me. I have
Yeah,
friends
it's
that have
just
traveled the
interesting.
world and they believe in the flat earth. I'm like, how can you believe in flat earth when you've lived in four different countries around the world?
This is the most convincing argument that I have ever heard about there not being a flat earth. Because if there was a flat earth, there would be an edge. And if there was an edge of the
What's
world,
happening to the water?
Disneyland would have a resort on it and there would be an amusement park there. And they would be charging a lot of money to go to edge of the world Disney. Like they, it just would, and it's not. And that's the best proof that I have that nothing like that. There'd be a swing. There'd be a resort. There'd be a glass bottom edge pool. You could swim out past the, there would. And that's how I know that it's not.
Absolutely.
Disney would have put an Alani out there already.
Yeah. You are so right.
Anyway, Corey, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us today about your experience with your in-laws in Amway. Do you want to answer some rapid fire questions for me?
Of course I do.
Okay. So I already know this answer because you emailed it to me, but what is one word that encompasses how you feel about MLMs?
They're evil.
What is a warning that you would give to somebody who's on the fence?
Run. Just jump off that fence and run in the opposite direction to what you think you were going to go. Don't do it. Don't.
I feel like this is a gimme, but what is the worst MLM in your opinion?
I would have to say Amway, because it's the one that I know, but also because it has, it's like a hydra. You cut off one head and there's, you know, 10 more grow in its place. It honestly is, it's a leviathan, it's a hydra. It's got its tentacles everywhere. I mean, the fact that we had the Department of Education was Betsy DeVos. What the?
I know.
I mean, seriously.
I know. What is the hardest lesson that you learned watching your in-laws go through this?
Not being able to help them, because they weren't ready to hear the truth. I think that was the hardest, because I want to help. I know I didn't talk about this in my personal life, but I've been a gestational surrogate. It's my nature to help people in any way I can. So to be helpless and not be able to do anything for them because they didn't even know they needed the help.
And what's the positive takeaway from watching all of this?
There is none. None.
Hey, sometimes there just isn't any silver lining at all.
There's no silver lining.
Yeah.
I hate to end on a negative like that, but there really isn't. So for anybody who's out there who's thinking about doing this, please don't, because you affect not only yourselves, you affect so many lives and long term.
That ripple effect, I don't think a lot of people really look at it. And a lot of times that ripple ends up turning into like big waves.
Tidal wave.
Yeah.
Tidal wave. And it's coming down on them now. And we're the ones with the rescue boat.
It's just heartbreaking. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being so candid, for sharing the story, for being so vulnerable. You're going to help a lot of people with this story. And I know there's people listening, nodding their heads going, yes, I watched my in-laws go through this too. Like, absolutely. Or their parents or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it is so important to tell these stories. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I was so excited.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast and my advocacy at The Real Roberta Blevins. You can find all of the links to the social accounts in our show notes. And if you just listened to that incredible story and you thought, oh my God, I have a story just like that that needs to be told, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. I would love to have you on the show to share your story and start your journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Huns.